Well, one, I don't know if I like the title of this message or not. It's just fellowship and eat some donuts. So, you know, one of the incredible realities of life is we go through various seasons and stages of life. And one of the things that happens is eventually we grow older. Yeah, but here's the thing, and I just mentioned this just a moment ago before we sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Here's one of the things I think that is incredibly true is that in every season or stage of life, one thing that is constant, one thing that, and we need this kind of constant, this kind of steadiness, this kind of stability in our lives, one thing that is true of God is great is thy faithfulness. He's a faithful God. Well, I was looking at some quotes from people that have happened to be in the stage of growing older. And one lady said, I don't have wrinkles, I have wisdom highlights.
He likes it.
Another said, wrinkles are the roadmap of a life well lived. One gentleman mentioned to me the other day, he said he reminded me of this quote that I've heard before, but he said, aging is when you wake up in the morning and everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Here's one way to age gracefully. I get a lot of wisdom from people that I talk with, and one person said, aging gracefully is when your back goes out more than you do. One lady told me one day, I'm not old, I'm just chronologically gifted. I love this, though. Getting older is a natural process, but growing wiser is a choice. And here's one, you're never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. That's very, very true. But, you know, when you talk to various people and I have an opportunity to talk to people. I don't do all the talking. I actually listen a lot of times. You hear me on Sunday morning talk a lot. But I like to listen. I like to listen to people's stories. And, you know, one of the things about talking with people that are growing older into their 70s and 80s and 90s, and we have one in our midst that's almost 104. But when you talk with individuals, you kind of get mixed thoughts and opinions about growing old. There are both joys and challenges that come with it. But as you grow older, you can feel like, you can begin to think, well, my best days are behind me. But the truth is, every day that God gives to you and every day that God gives to me is valuable. It's full of potential. Because no matter how old you are, you can still make a positive, eternal difference through your choices every single day. God is not limited. We see this in the scripture. He's not limited by age, nor are you when you walk with him. We read a part of this scripture just a moment ago. Paul is writing to a young pastor. His name is Timothy. And here's what he said. Where Timothy first found out and discovered faith in the Lord Jesus Christ came through the influence of family, specifically a grandmother and a mother. And Paul wrote, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So on this Mother's Day, it's not necessarily just a Mother's Day message, but as we travel through life, just some reminders that God has a plan. God has a purpose. You're never too old to make an eternal impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. So just seven reminders. One is, God's not finished with you yet. When he's finished with you, you'll be in your eternal home in heaven. Okay? But as long as you're on this earth, God has a plan and purpose for you. You know, it's hard when, as we grow older, sometimes we feel like we're being forgotten or overlooked. But here's the thing. God will never overlook you. He will never forget you. See, God sees you. He knows what season of life you're in. He knows you. And the thing is, he still wants to work through your life. You know, that's why, even as we look at the vision of our church of greater things, it's going to be accomplished through this church, through a people that are moving through the latter seasons of life. But it's because God still has a purpose. He still has a plan. And ultimately, better days are yet to come, ultimately in our eternal home in heaven. Listen to what God says here in Isaiah 46, verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I will sustain you. I made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. So one of the things that happens in life is that we come to Jesus Christ. We come to faith in God through grace. God is gracious in our lives. And in his grace, one day will carry us home. He'll rescue us. He'll take us to his eternal home. But while we're here on this earth, and as he carries us home, he's going to be faithful. He'll sustain us. He'll carry us. And he will rescue us. One of the things that I hear from people, especially in their 70s and 80s and 90s, and as they move in the latter stages of life, is, Darwin, what's my purpose? And why am I still here? I mean, a lot of times people are longing for the eternal home that God has for them in heaven. But I try to remind them, God's purpose, his plan, it may change as we grow older in life. As I move along in ministry, that may change what God has even for me. I mean, there's only so many times you guys are going to hear my story of my craziness. It'll get old, right? No, but anyway, God's purposes for our lives doesn't expire with age. In other words, he doesn't stop loving or working through any of his children as we grow older. Some of God's most significant work can happen through your life in the later stages of life. Well, how does this happen? Well, Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31 says, even youths grow tired and weary. I mean, you see the younger generation? Do you see moms, kids? Some working two or three jobs. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In our lives, even at this season of many of our lives, our strength, everything that we need for what God calls us to do, comes from him because he's not finished with us yet. Check this verse out. Psalm 92:14. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. How many of you are feeling fresh and green this morning? Springtime, fresh and green, productive, bearing fruit. That's what God says. God has a plan and purpose for our lives. That's why when we look at the greater things vision that he has for this church, it's not craziness. Our strength, everything we need comes from him. Along with God not being finished with you yet means that God still has something for you to do. He still has something for you to do. I lead Bible studies a lot of times in some of the senior living communities. Did I forget to turn my mic on? There it is. Yeah, thank you, Bob. Anyway. Your mom will probably remind me, too. You were the loudest mouth. Thank you. Do you want the mic on or not? Oh! Bob, what do you think? Tell me. Leave it on. All right. God's for you to do.
What's happening today?
Some people feel like, though, that getting older, that, you know, I can't do some of the important jobs of the ministry that God has in the church. That's not true. That's not true. We need to think about how God has used individuals over the years, even the later stages of life. Many of you are familiar with a pastor and tremendously gifted writer and speaker, Chuck Swindoll. I think he's just retired. He's in the process of retiring, stepping down from the pulpit. He's 90 years old. And they thought, you know, some people were asking him, hey, Dr. Swindoll, are you going to just kind of take it easy for a while? And he said, no, I'm involved in the daily office of our ministry, Insight for Living. And he said, I have more books to write. There he is, 90 years old. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 7, verse 7, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Remember, God's children, they were in slavery in Egypt, and God was going to free them after 400 years of being in slavery. Moses didn't really enter into the whole ministry scene until he was 80 years old. Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Age didn't disqualify them. You know, so those two individuals participating in that meeting with Pharaoh was part of God's plan. You just need to realize, you may not be leading a nation today. I don't know who wants that job, by the way, leading a nation. But you can lead others. You can lead others through prayer, wisdom, service, encouraging others. You have years and years of life experience that you can pass on, not only to your peers, but also to the generations that are following you. I mean, you have learned what it's like to trust God. We sang the hymn earlier, 'Tis so sweet to trust Him. You've learned to trust God throughout your life, in the good times, in the challenging times. And that kind of faith in our world today gives people hope. It's an encouragement to them. Just remember what Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6. He said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has a work in your life, in your own personal life, that he promises that he'll complete and finish, but that's not done until you cross the line into heaven, your eternal home. So even if your physical, mental, emotional strength has changed, I believe that our spiritual strength can continue to grow stronger. I mean, because you can still listen to others, support them, teach them, share with them, and pray. The point is, God still has ministry. God still has something for you to do. And the work and the ministry that God has called this congregation to do is going to require every member of the body to do their part in the greater things that he has in store here in Sun Village and beyond. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, he says, therefore, think about this, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. True. Yep. Yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. And then he goes on to say, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God has something for you to do. And he says, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Even though physically emotionally, in a lot of ways, we're kind of wearing down. On the inside, we have this God that is still renewing us spiritually to accomplish that work and ministry he's called us to do. Here's the third thing. Your wisdom is a gift to the next generation. Your wisdom, and I mean this with all sincerity, I am grateful for the wisdom of the people that God has placed in this room. I am grateful for the wisdom of the people that I'm surrounded with each and every day. It's incredible, the wisdom that God's people have. And one of the most powerful contributions that we can make as an older believer, Christian, is to share the wisdom of God with others. Because again, you've walked through so much, through so many seasons. And that strong faith, that wisdom that God's given you to teach others how to trust God through the different seasons and circumstances that they too experience in their lives. They think it's unique to them. But we have to remind them we've been through that. God's going to be faithful. He's going to be with you every step of the way. In Job 32:7, it says, age should speak. What does that mean? But advanced years should teach wisdom. You see, your life, God's not finished with you yet. He still has something for you to do. And one of those things that he has for you to do is to pass on that wisdom to others, to the next generation. And so we look at Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. So I never got much gray hair except for on my face. My mom just, a few weeks ago, I was in their home, in my mom and dad's home, and my mom looked over at me and she said, Darwin, I just noticed. We already knew that you didn't have very much hair, but she said, your beard is almost all white. And then she said, are you under some kind of stress? I wanted to say, let me tell your mom. But you know, I am grateful. You know, you need to laugh a lot and through times that are difficult sometimes. And I am grateful for my mom and dad in their own way, their wisdom. It's been a gift they passed on to all of us, and maybe some of it will stick in here that I can pass on to others as well. Here's another thing, though, just remember. It's only 5:55. We can stay a while yet. Prayer is a... Not too many people laughed about that. I'm like, prayer is a powerful ministry.
Amen.
It is a powerful ministry. Linda and I have been incredibly grateful for your prayers. God is answering prayer. Even a parent's move and transition this week to the assisted living community, that God's placing them as, I truly believe, is an answer to many of your praying. It's powerful. It is an absolutely powerful thing. And you may not be able to do some of the physical or hard work or enduring hours of work and ministry that you used to do 5, 10, 15, or 20 years ago. But one of the vitally important things that each and every one of us can do is pray. We need to pray for one another. Pray for needs. Lift our praises to God. We're reminded in James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person, the prayer of a Christ follower, the prayer of a believer in the Lord is powerful and effective. I know that you believe that.
Amen.
I know that you believe that. We've seen that. We've witnessed that. We've experienced God's great faithfulness throughout our lives. See, through prayer, you can make an eternal impact on people's lives, both near and even far away. You can pray for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You can pray for your church, your community, and others anywhere and at any time. So just remember how powerful your prayers are. And sometimes when we don't know what to pray, we have this incredible promise of God that, through the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And even the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf. God knows our hearts. The Holy Spirit communicates to God the Father through prayer what's on our hearts, even when we can't find the word. Have you ever been there? You just can't find the word. You just have to trust that the Spirit is and Jesus is interceding on our behalf. You know, there was a lady in the Bible named Anna. She was an elderly widow. She spent her days in the temple worshiping and praying. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 37, it says this of Anna: she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. I'm not suggesting that you stay here in the NPR. If you want to, you can. Night and day. But the point is, it's a beautiful thing. We can pray anytime, anywhere, for people who are near and far. But see, with Anna, God honored her devotion. He honored her prayers. She got to see the baby Jesus, remember? She got to see the baby Jesus in the temple. See, your prayers and your praise life can make a difference. Number five, your life testifies to God's faithfulness. Your life is actually a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Remember this. Living a long life with God is incredibly powerful. It's seen by others. It's shared with others. So just remember that every wrinkle and every gray hair that you have speaks to a lot of life experiences. And it also speaks as a person that's had a long relationship. Many of you have had a long relationship with Jesus. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Look at these words. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Wow. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Your life, every single day, your actions, your thoughts, your choices, can be an incredible testimony to God's faithfulness. Are we perfect at it? No, I fall short all the time. But the key is, as people consistently look at your life as a believer, we have the opportunity for them to see the faithfulness of God. You know what's more powerful than any sermon I could ever preach? It's life stories. Life stories of walking with Jesus. It's so true as we live them out daily. And when you share your stories of how faithful that God's been to you, you're just inspiring people. They too can trust God in all the circumstances that they go through in their own lives. In other words, you are a living testimony. You're a living example of how a loving Heavenly Father helps His children whatever they need. Your faithful life in Christ Jesus shows others that walking with God through the years is possible. And it's worth it all. It's worth it all. How about being an encouragement? Encouragement. See, growing old is not a bad thing. I know you didn't like the sermon title. But if we're going to make a lasting impact, these are just seven reminders here today at how where we are in our journey in life, where we're at in our season of life, that we can make an eternal impact. And one of those ways is encouragement. How do you encourage someone? Or maybe in a conversation, just taking the time to encourage someone through words. Or maybe that's through a note, a card, a text, a phone call. That may seem like it's something so simple, but I'm here to tell you, it can significantly change someone's life. Because so many times, whether it's a text, an email, a note, a card, or a conversation, or a phone call, I've experienced that in my life. It's right on time. It's on God's time. Many of you, even in the recent weeks, have taken the time to call, text, send notes of encouragement. Just remember, as you do share these encouraging words and actions with others, it makes a difference. And a lot of times, it's the Holy Spirit nudging you. Do that. It's the encouragement that person needs. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Then encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that sin's deceitfulness may harden none of you." We've all, through the seasons of life, we've all experienced life's ups and downs. So every one of you in this room, you get it, that there's mountains to climb, there's valleys to go through, there's level plains sometimes that you're on. You get it. You understand also how much a kind word or action can be an encouragement to others. So just remember, you can be part of this ministry. It really is a ministry of God, encouraging others every single day, no matter how old you are. Arlene will be 104 years old next month. You know, I was over at Orchard Point at Surprise Leaving Bible Study the other day, and Arlene was sitting next to me because I needed to make sure I didn't get out of line, so she sat right next to me.
That's her job.
But Arlene, as you sat next to me, you were an encouragement to me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the gift. It's a gift that we can share with so, so many others and with each other.
Here's the last thing I want to share with you. Your legacy.
Your legacy can point people to Jesus. Your legacy, the legacy of your life. So your life is from the time, well, actually from the time that you were conceived, but the day that you were born, and then there's this dash, and then when your life here on this earth comes to an end, it's that time that you pass from here and graduate and get promoted to the next life of eternity in heaven. And that dash in there, that's how we live our life. What's after that, though? How do we know? How can we ensure that we're making an eternal impact with our legacy? Well, Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children." Here's the thing. No matter how much money or material things you leave for others when you go to heaven, what matters most is what you left spiritually behind. That's what matters most. And what that means is every act of kindness, every life lesson that you take the time to teach, every prayer that you pray, it adds to the legacy that you will leave. You see, throughout our lives, we're building something that will outlast our earthly years. So it's never too late to build a legacy. Because through your life, you have the opportunity to lead even one soul closer to Jesus. And that makes an eternal impact. Your age doesn't limit you. Your life could be a valuable vessel of God every single day to make an eternal impact. And so the Apostle Paul, when he came to the end of his life, knew he was coming to the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, he said these words, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." One day, you too, as a child of God, will receive that incredible crown of righteousness. Until then, keep up the good fight. Finish well the race that God has called you to. Keep the faith, and God will continue to use your life to make an eternal impact, even as you grow older. I want to share something with you before I finish. And I say an article that Chuck Swindoll wrote called Growing Old. There's old words again that you don't like. Here's what he said. It's very important to hear this. Growing old, like taxes, is a fact that we all must face. Now, you're not going to get me to declare when growing up stops and when growing old starts. Not on your life. But there are some signs we can read along life's journey that suggest we're entering into the transition of growing older. And he says, how's that for diplomacy? So he says, physically, the aging bod puts on the brakes. You begin to huff and puff when you used to rip and zip. You prefer to sit more than stand, to watch more than to do, to forget your birthday rather than to remember it. Mentally, the aging brain longs for relief. You can't remember like you used to. You don't respond like you ought to. You start thinking more about yesterday and tomorrow and less about today. And emotionally, you wonder, these strange fears and feelings you once wore would never occur in me. Such as being negative, critical, and downright ornery at times. There's no one in this group, I don't think. Oh, yeah, Being reluctant to let those who are younger carry the responsibility. Feeling unwanted and in the way. Preoccupied with what if rather than rather frequently. Feeling guilty over previous mistakes and wrong decisions. Feeling forgotten, unloved, lonely, and passed by. Threatened by sound, speed, financial uncertainty, and disease. Resisting the need to adjust and adapt. All this, and there's also the memory of those days when you were once so efficient, capable, needed, and fulfilled. As you look into the mirror, you're forced to admit that the fingers of age have begun to scratch their marks upon your house of clay. And it's hard to believe your twilight years could be of any worth. Chuck Swindoll says, how wrong, how terribly wrong, how destructive such thoughts can be, how quickly such thinking can sentence you to the prison cell of self-pity, surrounded by four bleak walls of doubt, depression, uselessness, and grief. And he goes on to say that God's patriarchs have always been his choicest possessions. Abraham, for example, was far more effective once he grew old and mellow. Moses wasn't used with any measure of success until he turned 80. Caleb was 85 when he began to enjoy God's best goals. Samuel was old when the God of Israel led him to establish the school of the prophets. And who can deny that God used Paul during his last days on his knees in prayer, writing words of encouragement in the very letters we cherish today in the Bible? No one fails to see that growing old has its difficulties and heartaches. It does indeed. But to see only the hot sands of your desert experience and miss the lovely oases here and there is to turn the latter part of your journey through life into an arid, tasteless endurance, which makes everyone miserable. Please don't forget, God has chosen, God has decided to let you live this long. Your old age is not a mistake, nor an oversight, nor an afterthought. And please remember, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.